You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
February the 10th, 2020, the White House unveiling a $4.8 trillion budget proposal. What I really like about this, it plans to reduce foreign aid by 21%. Democrats, of course, control the House of Representatives, so don't expect it to be passed as being presented by the White House. The death toll from the coronavirus sweeping across China and around the globe, apparently up to 1,000 and 40,000 known cases. And there may be many, many more we're not hearing about, especially in China. They say at this time, containment is the objective. All nations must prepare for an outbreak. We've had three, maybe now half a dozen cases documented in the U.S. No deaths in the U.S. The British government is declaring the coronavirus a serious and imminent threat. That gives the Secretary of State for Health Emergency Powers in Britain powers to detain anyone suspected of being infected. Iran is counting down to launching a satellite. It's going to be a missile carrying a satellite that they insist is just going to be for scientific observation. Primary mission to collect images to help study for earthquakes and natural disasters. That's what Iran would have you believe. Well, it is against a UN security resolution. That resolution called on Iran to refrain from any activity related to ballistic missiles capable of delivering nuclear weapons, which this one would. Iran insists it's doing nothing wrong. Of course they're going to say that. Now, by the way, this last September, they did have one of their satellites they had planned on using, one of their missiles, blow up on the launch pad. Didn't make me lose any sleep, did you? However, we need to watch what they're doing. There are those that live in fear if they speak out against their government. In this country, you're free to speak your mind. No one's going to come put you in jail. And they're certainly not going to try to kill you because you have a different political view. Or at least they shouldn't. Let me put it that way. Russia is one of the countries where it's probably not good. And wherever you go, they will find you. In a French hotel, a 44-year-old critic of Vladimir Putin had checked in. He didn't show up. Someone went to check on him. Found him in the room, multiple wounds in his chest. His throat had been slit, sparking concerns that a Russian political hit squad took part in that and is maybe looking for other dissidents or those speaking out against Putin across Europe. Four members of the Chinese People's Liberation Army, now charged with hacking into that computer system of the credit reporting agency Equifax in 2017, they stole something like information from 145 million Americans. The FBI says it's the largest instance of state-sponsored theft in U.S. history. For many Americans, paying for a place to stay is getting more and more costly. A Harvard report claims that 30% of household income for many Americans is spent on rent. 30%. We're getting signals from outer space. They come every 16 days. A galaxy 500 million light years from Earth. This signal continues to come. Radio burst for 4 days, stops for 12 days, and then repeats. Someone out there trying to reach us? Hello, ET. Phone home. Jane Fonda was at the Oscars last night and talked about climate change and saving the world and what she's trying to do to show that she's big on that. She decided to recycle. She wore an old gown she had worn previously to the Academy Awards. That was that was Jane Fonda's idea to show that she's woke and she will help you fight climate change. So go to your closet, find something old to wear, and you are helping fight climate change, and it's better to recycle rather than go out and buy more. Do you suspect she's through buying anything new? Not likely. But she said, I wore this in 2014. I'm wearing it again. See, I'm recycling.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer, finding, removing threats to your health. In one facility, occupants were getting sick, but only in one portion of a building. And Wellington Environmental was asked to investigate and soon found air conditioning units in the rooms only in that side of the building were blowing cold air loaded with mold. The AC units in that part of the building were pulling air from a stagnant pond. Mystery solved, threat resolved. That's just one of many Wellington Environmental stories. And then there's a hospital that was going to have to close because of a water main break until Wellington stepped in to help. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Oh, Susie Q.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Jobs and investments are pouring into 9,000 previously neglected neighborhoods thanks to Opportunity Zones, a plan spearheaded by Senator Tim Scott as part of our great Republican tax cuts. In other words, wealthy people and companies are pouring money into poor neighborhoods or areas that haven't seen investment in many decades, creating jobs, energy, and excitement. This is the first time that these deserving communities have seen anything like this. It's all working.
That is President Trump the other night at the State of the Union address. And as he cited and called out and gave praise to Senator Tim Scott, who came up with the idea to help work with the president and the White House to put money into areas that desperately needed it, calling them new opportunity zones. And you heard the president praise him, cite him out, and you heard the applause. That did not include Democrats. They were still sitting on their hands. The ladies in white didn't stand. They didn't want to recognize anyone that the president was giving some credit to for helping improve lives, especially black lives. Senator Tim Scott is a black man, Republican of South Carolina. And he had talked to the president about coming up with some way to truly make a difference in those communities. And that's when he proposed we set up some funding projects and we go in and we do the best where it's needed. This is not Obama talking about shovel-ready type jobs and then saying, oh, I guess it's not so shovel-ready after all. Isn't that funny? Remember that? This was, Mr. President, you said to the black voters, you've gotten nothing from the Democrats all these years. Why not give me a chance? He said, let's, now that you're in office, show them that you can deliver. And he has. And the president just pointed that out. Not only referenced unemployment and the jobs created, but actually putting money back into various communities. Senator Scott, again, black Republican of South Carolina, and what he saw the president doing.
The president deserves so much credit for focusing on the most vulnerable Americans in this nation, and he's bringing $67 billion back into some of the most vulnerable communities in the country. And I'm thankful that he supported my legislation, the Opportunity Zone bill, that is bringing that those dollars back. But the good news is, in those areas, we've seen as high as an 8% wage increase. And Maria, you know, we're celebrating over 3% wage growth in America. Can you imagine areas with an 8% wage growth? These are blessed times for Americans who are looking for hope. The president has become a purveyor of hope.
That is, again, Senator Tim Scott, a black Republican of South Carolina. He's the junior senator, Lindsey Graham, the senior senator from South Carolina. And he was appearing on Maria Bartiromo's program over the weekend. And as you heard him say, wages have increased something like 30% in some of those areas. This is good news. I don't care how you want to look at it. This is good news for the people, as he said, the most vulnerable that need help. Do you think there would be some praise even from the Democrats to say, I'm glad you're in there helping these people? No, you're not going to get any kind of praise. If Obama had done this same thing, which he had 8 years to do so, if he had done it, do you not think they would be yelling it from the rooftops and praising him? And I would be all for it. If you're helping our poorest of our poor and helping them reestablish themselves and not just handouts, but improving their conditions and giving them jobs, I'm all for it. But because it's Trump, it's being denounced. They already ridicule any blacks that appear at any of the rallies. They ridicule them and saying basically they were paid. They got to be paid. Why would they be there? In other words, they're making, by that very statement, the left are defining stereotypes, and they are demeaning black Americans. No black American would go there unless they're going to be paid. Are you saying that they're that dull and dim-witted and so hard up for money that they go stand behind Donald Trump? Is that what you're saying? That is what they're saying. Mother Jones had a reporter go do an article on one of the blacks had been standing behind Trump. He tracked him down and went to meet with him. And he said, I planned just a short visit. I'm reading from the article now. He said, I'd planned a short visit, and it turned into one of the most surreal conversations I've ever had. He said, to start with, Michael wanted me to know that no, Donald Trump doesn't pay him to come to rallies. And no, nobody asked him to stand on stage behind the president, right in frame for the camera. He said, I get in line early, sometimes a day in advance, and spend all night waiting. He said, there are dozens of other black people at these events, but they stay on the edges because either maybe they don't want to be seen, but they want to be there supporting, but they don't want to be on camera. They don't know what kind of repercussions they're going to get. Now, I'm not going to spend all my time on the Mother Jones article, but what he went to do was debase any black person that would stand behind Trump. But he was told by the guy, hey, I don't do that. I didn't get paid. I'm there because I want to be there. And they also want to ignore what we're seeing happen with the efforts to create and launch, as they did this last November, Black Voices for Trump. Registering new voters, firing up the faithful, outreach events, various voter trainings already in North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Virginia. And, of course, Kanye West had this super friendship he established with Trump, and he got chastised by the Hollywood elite, accusing him of sellout. New data from the Harvard CAPS Harris poll found that Trump's job approval rating at 22%, the number's up considerably since a Quinnipiac poll found only 2% of black voters approved of his performance in 2017. 2% in 2017, now at 22%? Well, of course, Congresswoman Maxine Waters says what you're having right now is all the candidates. That includes the white Democrats as well, because there is no person of color now running for president on the Democrat side. They got rid of them. They willowed them out. They couldn't get the money. They didn't get the support. They did everything they could to undermine them. So they're all gone, all of them. The closest you get is Andrew Yang. Doesn't really qualify as a person of color, as far as many of them are concerned. But Congresswoman Mauder says what we're seeing with these white lily Democrats is they're all trying to court the black voters. They recognize we are valuable, we are important. Well, yes, they are important, and yes, there is an effort to court them. And the Democrats have been doing that for decades and generations. Well, let me step aside and let you hear from Congresswoman Maxine Waters.
Now that the black vote has become very important and very influential, we need to use this opportunity to ensure that they're making the kind of commitments that they can keep up with, that they, the promises that they're making will be kept. And we'll know in the conversations that they have whether or not they're trying to learn something about black people overnight or whether or not they really have given thought to it. They've been there, and they can identify what they've done in the past. And that goes for all of them.
All of them. So she includes the Democrats, not just Trump. Well, I just cited for you what this president has done. He delivered those remarks at the State of the Union. You heard Senator Tim Scott a moment ago, again, talk about how he's helping the most vulnerable, how wages are going up in the black communities. And don't forget that this president, other presidents had the opportunity. He passed the First Step Act, the criminal justice reform bill, creating an opportunity for thousands of federal prisoners to be released early. Obama didn't do that. And again, these opportunity zones to invest in poor, often minority-dominated communities. I don't see those as empty words. I see him delivering on the promise and actually caring about making things better. And with this new Black Voices for Trump and their advisory board, which includes former presidential candidate Herman Cain, they're going to make some inroads. They're doing it already. And to that extent, Senator Scott says the black support numbers for Donald Trump by what he has been doing, what he proposes to do, and what he will do is going to be staggering for this next election.
On election day 2016, he was around 8 or 9%. Right now, his approval rating on the last four polls that I've seen is over 30%. And there's a very specific reason why that is the case. He has not only said what he was going to do, he actually has done it. Whether it's permanent funding for HBCUs, historically black colleges and universities, or criminal justice reform, opportunity zones, heirs property, working on sickle cell anemia, this president has been delivering for 3 years, and it is now gaining traction in African-American communities across this nation, and that's really good news for this president, and frankly, it's fantastic news for America, because we're proving that no matter where you live, the American dream is alive, it is well, and it is healthy.
Isn't that what we want for this nation? Don't we want all Americans to have opportunities? Don't we want all Americans to have a chance to improve their lives? To get a higher paying job? To get a job to begin with, and then get a higher paying job, and then maybe one above that, and move it even again. The idea from the Democrats, the leftists, is just keep everybody on the ghetto plantation. Just keep them there. So they'll be there when we know where we can find them when we go to get votes. This president is putting money into some of those depressed areas and for minority-owned businesses and making sure they get a better opportunity. These opportunity zones are certainly going to create new wealth and money and opportunity, and it begins to ripple out. Anything that we can do that would be a tide that lifts all boats, I'm in favor of. Now, what you're going to see in here as they go through this debate over the president's budget proposal, as he's cutting $4.4 trillion in spending and boosting defense and cutting foreign aid by 21%, you're going to see many of them coming forward and saying, well, now he's hurting the poor. He's taken away safety nets. And by safety nets, they're talking about all the handout programs. What they're doing is replacing a handout program with a requirement that if you're going to get it and you're capable of working, you would do something to earn it. If you're capable, you don't have children, and you got that you can actually go out and do some work, either as a volunteer for a group that needs it or something else, then you're going to start earning that. That is more than money in the pocket. Many people might not understand it, but that is building self-esteem. But that's not the way it's going to be seen by the left. And speaking of how they can change their views, Mitt Romney, they hated Romney until he did what he did the other day on the impeachment. And now they're all in love with him again. Please stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. redfitnesslounge.com.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Mitt Romney, Senator Mitt Romney of Utah, ran for president against Obama in the 2012 election. He was a Republican Party nominee. In fact, at that time, targeted by Democrats even before he actually got the nomination. They were describing him as rich, out of touch with the real world. Unions, political groups, and even inside Barack Obama's campaign, they were trying to destroy him before he had a chance. They took Romney, who was pretty moderate at that time, and linked him to what they considered the, quote, extreme Tea Party agenda. He's just rich, not working for the middle class. There was a pro-Obama ad that linked him with a woman's death from cancer after his company, Bain Capital, had bought out and closed a steel plant company that had employed her husband years earlier. And then don't forget about how he had his dog on the roof of the car for a 12-hour trip in 1983, had a windshield crate put on top of the roof so the dog would be protected, but still had the dog on the roof. And everybody, oh, my God, oh, my God. And the Democrats hated him, as did dog lovers at that point. But then the other day, he was the only member of the Republicans in the Senate to vote to remove President Trump from office in the impeachment. And you would have thought the guy had set the moon in the heavens. Democrats came out from everywhere. Senator Elizabeth Warren, voting to convict this president is an act of patriotism. Thank you, Senator Romney. Senator Schatz, a Democrat of Hawaii, tweeting, Senator Romney reminds us it's not impossible to do the right thing, it's just hard. Senator Murphy, Connecticut, at a time when many wonder what honor is left in public life, there stands Mitt Romney. During the Friday Democrat debate, by the way, Senator Klobuchar took a moment to recognize Romney, saying There was courage from Mitt Romney, who took a very, very difficult vote. And then she said, you know, this world's upside down when a Democrat crowd is cheering a Republican nominee for the president, as in the past, not now. Well, what about inside the Republican circles? The chairman of the American Conservative Union has already disinvited Romney from the popular CPAC convention, said in a political sense he is now ostracized. And President Trump criticized Romney at the National Prayer Breakfast last week. He added, I don't like people who use their faith as justification for doing what they know is wrong. That's because Romney had said, I prayed about it and I decided this is what I must do. They say there's a lot of anger against him in Utah among Republicans, but they think it will pass. We'll see. But if you do what the Democrats want, they will love you forever and ever and ever. I'm still thinking about going Democrat, see if I can get my own CNN program. I could not do it. We will take a break, and we'll be joined by James Herson from Hollywood on the debacle once again and the political noise out of the Oscars last night and more. Please stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrury.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
Give me one reason to stay here, and I'll turn right back around. Give me one reason to stay here, and I'll turn right back around. Said I don't want to leave you lonely. You gotta make me change my mind.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
We welcome back one of my favorite guests, James Herson, New York Times bestselling author, international business attorney, news analyst, and covering the left coast for us, the Hollywood Oscars last night. James, always glad to have you on board, sir.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be with you, Larry.
Well, before we get, and I did want to spend some time with you on the Oscar debacle again last night, but I took note since you are an international business attorney and a lawyer on top of that. I should point out to the audience as well, you have served as a professor at Trinity Law School and Biola University, a member of the California and Washington, D.C. Bar Association, admitted to the U.S. Supreme Court. You wrote up a piece about how Trump's impeachment record can be wiped clean. I want to give you some time for that, sir. Go ahead.
Sure. It's been a subject of discussion. The minority leader, Kevin McCarthy, brought it up. And in criminal law, the word that's used is expungement. And people who have had skirmishes with the law understand when they hear that word, because what expungement does is, let's say somebody's on probation, they meet all the terms of their probation, it literally erases the criminal record. So what Kevin McCarthy and a whole bunch of prominent Republican leaders have said, that if they take over the House, I would say when they take over the House.
I hope. Yeah.
That what they're going to do is one of their items is to expunge, basically repeal the flawed, ridiculous articles of impeachment that Nancy Pelosi withheld for a month, that started with an inquiry without a vote, which had auditions of witnesses in a basement room hidden from the public where the president couldn't participate, and on so many violations.
Well, with that in mind, some are immediately going to say, well, why didn't the Democrats try to do that with Clinton?
Well, they did, though. And that's what I put in my article. You know, it was real interesting. I think some of the more famous legal experts, more famous than me, who were on TV when they were confronted with this, they didn't have time to research it. So some of them are friends of mine. And one of them said that, exactly what you said. They said, well, if you could expunge an impeachment, then Clinton, it would have been expunged. But in fact, a representative named Chaka Bhatta, Representative Chaka Bhatta from Pennsylvania, tried to expunge the Clinton impeachment. He couldn't get the votes to make it happen. And this is the guy, ironically, who is now in prison for bribery, money laundering, fraud. But
oh, you cannot make that up. You can't make that
up. No, you can't. But here's the thing. First of all, does the House have the power to expunge? The answer is yes. And has it been, and is there precedent for it? Yes, there is in history. Andrew Jackson, interestingly enough, President Jackson is somebody who is sometimes compared with Donald Trump. In Andrew Jackson's reelection, he ran against, Andrew Jackson was a Democrat. Nothing in common with today's Democrats.
Right, right.
But Andrew Jackson ran against Henry Clay, who at that time was the equivalent of a Republican. And, Clay lost, Jackson won his reelection, but Clay took over the Senate. And so what the Senate did, they had a dispute over a veto that Jackson had in his first term. And the Senate can't impeach, of course. We know that. The House can impeach, but they didn't control the House. So the Senate censured Andrew Jackson. They passed a resolution of censure. And then when Jackson's party, the Democrats, took over the Senate later, they expunged the censure. Now,
it's not an impeachment, but you think it'd be comparable.
It's absolutely comparable. It's exactly the same process. Now, that doesn't stop people. Like, as I said to you, Jackson was censured, and of course historians talk about that Jackson was censured, but then they have to add that the censure was expunged. In this case, though, another thing that the House Republicans want to do may affect the way history looks at it, and that is they want to investigate the circumstances surrounding Adam Schiff, the face of the impeachment process, and his staff's potential connections to the so-called whistleblower. And as I say in my piece, this is the origin story, that it appears Schiff has been hiding. There were 18 witnesses. By the way, that's another lie, of course. We keep hearing the Democrats say no witnesses, no witnesses. There were 18 witnesses.
Yeah, they didn't get what they wanted.
One of the transcripts is missing. One of the transcripts has been mysteriously hidden by Adam Schiff. And when Adam Schiff hides stuff, I think we know that it's going to be things that are helpful to the Republicans, to the president, and hurtful to him. And it happens to be the testimony given by Michael Atkinson, the Inspector General of the Intelligence Community, the man who had contact with the whistleblower, whose name cannot be uttered.
Right.
Eric Ciaramella, you can't say that name. And so it's, but in any case.
Well, I want to see it happen.
They're going to get that transcript. That's going to be one of the first things they do, and they're going to look into that. And I think that's going to change the way history looks at even President Trump's original.
Well, I hope you're right about that, and we should. And I'm waiting to see what the Senate's going to do on its own anyway. I need to move quickly to the Oscars. I know you've got an interview coming up, and we have a hard break anyway. The Oscars last night, again, it became a political foray. The documentary filmmaker for the the one that won for the Obama's, the what was it, the American
Obama's
Factory. American Factory. I'd watch it, and I'd commented on it previously. It's a very interesting story and so forth, but the first thing she did when she got out there was basically use a communist line, manifesto line, you know, people, the workers of the world unite. That's what I was getting, and we got 4 minutes to go, but go ahead.
Sure. I mean, that's from the Communist Manifesto. You're absolutely right. That's from Karl Marx. And that is also the slogan of the old Soviet Union, and that is the ideology that killed 100 million people. And there should never be applause, and that should not be part of the Oscars. The Oscars, once again, are a disaster. Brad Pitt is the most tragic story, because Brad Pitt, a decent guy, actually a good reputation, a guy who has accidentally voiced support for the Second Amendment by mistake, but he has been great on all the pre-Oscar award shows, and he's been helping his brand. He's still got a lot of life left in his career, and he goes up there, and reportedly from a Democrat speechwriter who he hired,
uh-huh.
He should have never done that,
right.
And insulted half the country. He has harmed himself.
Yeah, his remark is, they told me I only have 40 seconds up here, 45 seconds, which is 45 seconds more than the Senate gave John Bolton this week. It's for a kind of a laugh. We could kind of, but when you look at the onus of it, it disappears.
It's his first Oscar. It's his chance to say something meaningful that will live on. And he says this snarky. It's a snarky comment. It's a comment that you would hear from someone, Tom Perez, the head of the DNC, would make a comment like that. Chuck Schumer would make a comment like that. Said it didn't belong coming from Brad Pitt's lips, and it's harmed him. And it harmed the Oscars. And then, of course, we have Joaquin Phoenix coming out against Milk from Cows. I mean, God bless Joaquin, you know. He plays a complete crazy person, the Joker.
Right.
And he's got to, and to do that well, which he did, he's got to have a little crazy in him. But this guy, the one thing I will say about Joaquin is that he's a real, sincere animal rights guy. He's a vegan. He's been that way for a long time. He's been supporting PETA and all that stuff. So he's got that in his mind. But then he equated it with this laundry list of injustices in America.
And do they not realize every time they open their mouths like that? That's why the viewing audience last night, I haven't seen the numbers, but I don't expect they were great.
I think they went down again, and they've been going down every year. They have a bunch of films nobody's heard of. And it was wonderful, you know, that they gave it to a South Korean film with subtitles. And that film is very creative, and that's nice. But people, you know, anecdotally, I mean, everybody I know is saying, did you see that film? I didn't see that film. And
I haven't either.
And most of the films every year are not films that the public cares about or wants to see. It's all about them. It's all about,
well, at that point, all about them.
The people in Hollywood.
All about them. I agree. And James, as always, we appreciate it. I promised you I'd get you out on time today, and I still want to have you back to have a couple other discussions off topics that aren't front minded. But I do always appreciate having you on board, sir.
Oh, it's my pleasure. The era of the movie star is over.
I believe that. James Herson from Hollywood. When we continue, I'll tell you a little bit more about this movie, American Factory, and the story of how it connects to Barack Obama. When we continue.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Never would have hitchhiked to Birmingham if it hadn't been for love. Never would have called the train to Louisiana if it hadn't been for love. Never would have run through the blinding rain without $1 to my name if it hadn't been for love. Never would have seen the trouble that I'm in if it hadn't been for love.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I've got an update on that shooting at the Walmart in Forest City, Arkansas, just off Interstate 40, west of Memphis, between West Memphis and Little Rock. Apparently a man was acting weirdly in the store, and two police officers responded, and he pulled a gun and opened fire on them. They shot back. The gunman's dead. Two officers shot, one of them reportedly at last check in critical condition. So we'll continue to monitor that story. That's a Walmart in Forest City, Arkansas. So last night at the Oscars, the Oscar-winning documentary went to American Factory. And the producer, filmmaker, got up on the stage and said, "Workers of the world, unite," a Communist Manifesto line. The only thing missing was to add, "You had nothing to lose but your chains," which was part of the Communist Manifesto directive. And that movie is one of the new films presented by Higher Ground. Higher Ground is the name of the production company. Former President Barack Obama and the First Lady have put money into to create films for Netflix. I will tell you, and I've mentioned to you previously, I've watched the movie and I did find it a fascinating documentary. Listen, I don't care who pays for it, who funds it, if it's done well and it deserves some attention, which I thought it did, that's why I mentioned it. And last night it ended up getting the documentary, best documentary feature. I don't know the other ones it was against, and I don't know if it won simply because of the names behind Higher Ground, Obama. But it was worthy. But it also did not tell the story of the connections to Obama himself reference the plant. When it happened, we're talking about a General Motors factory in Ohio that got shut down. And what was going on at that time is the auto industry was in deep trouble. Obama helped with the auto bailout, if you recall. But this particular plant, the workers were in the wrong union. Congressman Mike Turner, a Republican of Ohio, former mayor of nearby Dayton, Ohio, said that President Obama's role made life worse for those GM workers because the bailout helped force that plant to be closed, making it harder for those workers to find new jobs because the Obama administration was helping its favorite union allies, and these guys were in the wrong union. In fact, Turner wrote in the Wall Street Journal after the film was released, "It's a fascinating and at times moving film. What's interesting, though, it never once alludes to the fact Mr. Obama played in diminishing the ability of those laid-off workers to transfer to other GM plants. The president's role wasn't indirect and isn't a matter of dispute. His administration's bailout deal for GM included a backroom exclusive agreement with the United Auto Workers. And the Obama administration, with that bailout, worked with the UAW. The GM plant that got shuttered was unionized by another group, IUECWA. So they didn't get any jobs. Their plant got closed. Well, then there was an effort to find a way to use a plant. And some Chinese were brought in, and they decided to open it as a glass-making plant, a windshield factory, and going to copy what they were already doing in China. And so the folks got all excited. It's going to be great for us. They came in, retooled the plant, started producing these windshields, but the Chinese were not happy with production. They didn't think the workers were doing enough. These workers in America only want to work 8-hour days, and they want a lunchtime, and they want overtime. In China, you don't do that. You show up, you might have a 15, 16, 18-hour day, and if you're eating, you're probably eating while you're on the floor. They had some of the managers of the plant flown over to China to see how they do it in China. And you could see the managers shaking their heads like, "We can't go back and have our people do this." So that's what the documentary showed. I thought it was, again, a very good documentary and showing Americans trying to accept a foreign approach to business, but it was not going to work in our country. But again, Congressman Mike Turner said, how does a nearly two-hour film telling the story of these workers fail to even mention the direct role the co-owner of the film production company played in creating their hardships? Did the filmmakers think no one would remember? Those are the words of Congressman Turner, acknowledging, as he did in that Wall Street Journal, how the Obama administration actually gutted the plant to begin with and had it shut down. And Congressman Turner said his father, who had retired from that plant, lost his health insurance in the auto bailout. Another irony. As always, I appreciate your listening. Please let your friends and neighbors and even your enemies know we're on the air. I'd love to have your enemies listening. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same station. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.